continent in terms of how we fare around disability. And to that end, with the African Decade program has now been extended to the next decade. And that this government has actually played a role in making sure that the Secretariat is based in South Africa, and we're hoping that that would advance, because the first 10 years was not that much effective because no government was willing to put funding onto the program. We've also looked at the UN Convention with this government, and we are the signatories to that document, and it stipulates key areas. For the purposes of this exercise, I would want to highlight key points that would make us to stay through to what we are signatory to. If we look at the number of disabled people in South Africa, as per Statistics South Africa Census 2001, we are looking at 2.1 million. We have worked with Statistics South Africa because we think that that figure is not necessarily accurate. And it's not accurate because of the question raised during the census process. And that we think that there's more than it is reflected. So to that end, we have been able to flag a question that is more embracing than for people to be looking at impairment when they look at disability. And that we're hoping that STAT South Africa would be actually progressing with that. However, we are concerned because even to date, we're hearing that there would be an international conference which will be held in Durban, and that there is nothing that speaks to that about disability. We hear that there will be women in statistics, children in statistics, but you're not hearing that, and disability, we think that has been quite a complex issue for the statisticians to understand, even to formulate a question that would make sure that the person who answers that questionnaire would not look at disability as a physical issue. However, I think for me, the committee should be able to monitor how Statistics South Africa is managing that process and how it takes it on board in terms of making sure that it's reflected in the 2011 census. The next other thing is that which I would want to highlight is the fact that from 1994, we have worked with this parliament in terms of making sure that there is an understanding on how mainstreaming and integration of disability should be looked at. And to that end, we have been able to do a research that would accommodate members of parliament, especially those that are blind and those that are severely disabled, which are paraplegics and those that are deaf, because in a sense, you're not able to have a PA or a personal attendant inside the chamber when you're a disabled MP. So is the sign language interpreter. If you look in the last parliament or last administration, you would see that a sign language interpreter sits outside and the other person would be sitting in the corner. It's those things that we think that because we have been able to be working inside parliament, we have been able to kind of advise, but I think after 1999, we've been kind of, our office was removed from parliament. And we would want to urge this portfolio committee to look at that possibility of having a disability parliamentary office within parliament so that that service is readily available to all members of parliament and also to parliament itself. And we think that that's very important. But also in terms of looking at disability and the language used, we think that issues around sensitivity training are quite important, especially when there's an induction of parliamentarians. And that would be quite important for us. We understand that this government is supposed to produce a report next year in terms of how it's dealing with the implementation of the UN Convention. And we don't want to be spectators in this regard. And we think that this committee could play a significant role in making sure that there is a program that would make ordinary South Africans understand what the UN Convention stands for and how it's supposed to benefit disabled people and members of their families. And that a clearer program that could be implemented through this committee could be a step in the right direction and could provide some kind of understanding so that it's you hear people saying in government corridors that if you have a disabled person working in a particular program, they call it now special program. And whether it's the DG or the MEC or the minister would refer to that person, say, what do you call what this thing of yours? How do you do it? And what are supposed to do is, are things going on with your thing, you know? And it's referred to as your thing because you are a disabled person, and there's an understanding this thing resides with you. So I think it's important for us to begin to have a program that could kind of, because there are those underlying attitudes around disability and the understanding thereof. So we think that we could work with this committee in producing that and collaborate with the ministry. And we think that there's a lot of commitment. We are convinced that the minister is committed in terms of making sure that her department would present a change with regards to the livelihoods of disabled people. The other critical issue is the 2010 project with us. And I think there, we think that this committee should be playing a role because we have been talking about access to physical environment, buildings and all of that. And there's been a problem with regards to the stadiums as they are now. And there isn't a clear understanding with regards to how a disabled person would also be able to participate as a South African citizen and a spectator in that regard. And there has been money that has been put to this in terms of even changing government buildings, you know. And we think that there has not been a complete commitment in realizing access to all of those buildings. The issue of transport is another issue because we're not able to make our mark because taxis are not prepared or have consideration for how the taxis would accommodate disabled people. They are concerned about, you know, the routes and all of those things, and that how they provide services to passengers is something that they would consider last. So I think that with regards to access to transport in South Africa, it's something that this committee should work hard on it, especially in monitoring how the Department of Transport is progressing in this regard. And that we have tried, especially with municipalities in Cape Town, for instance, there's what we call Dial a Ride. But this is just by a pilot program, which was testing whether the viability of making sure that you can make public transport accessible to disabled people, and that it's stuck there, and because people don't want to put in money on these things, and therefore we're not seeing significant progress. There are examples. We have been talking to the Department of Transport with regards to BRT, and we think that the influence of the consultants is taken more seriously than what we are saying as disabled people in terms of how that should be. So I think that the portfolio committee could kind of look at that. The other area is the area around employment. My understanding is that the Minister of Labour would be launching the 2008-09 report. And without revealing what the report says, but we are far from meeting the 2%. I'm not sure why, Chairperson, that is difficult. Because we have the employment equity, we've got a code of good practice, we've got a technical assistance guideline, we've got everything that is supposed to assist both the employer and a disabled person who's a job seeker to be able to smoothen out the process of employment. And I'm really not sure. And I think that we have done an assessment of all the departments, and I was part of the panel with the Public Service Commission. And my take in that process was that there isn't a seriousness in terms of heads of departments and the DGs in employment, because this is not a magic. It's something that needs willingness and commitment for it to happen. And we can go a long way of making this government a government of choice if we're able to seriously consider issues of diversity, because this is what this government is all about, in our view. So I think that the issue of 2%, I mean, this thing has been extended now to 2010, and I'm not sure that come March 2010 we will be able to meet the 2%. I mean, it has been extended from 2005. So we think that, and I don't think that this portfolio committee expects disabled people to burn buildings and be destructive in order for us to get what is supposed to be done by this government. And we don't think that we should go to that length. And we think that we've got committed, this portfolio committee is committed, we've got the committed ministry, and we can achieve this working together. The other area, Chairperson, which for me would be almost the last one, is the issue around the rehabilitation policy. That policy talks to partnership between government and the disability movement. And this has worked well in Mpumalanga, for instance, where we had worked with the government and we've changed the lives of disabled people in that province with regards to them making sure that they're able to easily access identity documents, easily access to know their rights. They know where to get services and how to get those services. And also transform their thinking around depending to a disability grant. So it's something that we need to be working on, because we are saying that disabled people want economic empowerment, and that economic empowerment has to do with them taking responsibility of their life than to be depending on government. But there's a dilemma, Chairperson, that if I'm earning a disability grant and I've got an employment that tells me that I can be there for 6 months, I wouldn't be willing to lose my disability grant. So there needs to be some kind of a serious debate between ourselves and SASA in terms of how do you make sure that there's a bridging gap between a disabled person moving from a disability grant to employment, so that you don't take that immediately, but that a person is assured that this employment is sustainable So because it's difficult to get back to a disability grant if you have lost it through employment. So I think there is, because we can move a lot of disabled people from depending from a disability grant to making sure that they're able to take charge of their lives on their own, and which restores their dignity in a sense. So I think that also in terms of making sure that it's not only the disability grant, but it's the support that the person, support system that is built, because you don't only need a disability grant. You might sometimes need, for instance, for me to use both of my arms, I need the prosthesis, and that prosthesis could actually go a long way in enabling me to do some work. For instance, I'm not allowed to drive a manual car, you know. Not that I can't drive a manual car, because I have one arm, so I can't drive a manual car. So I think it's those areas. So the Department of Health in this regard has to take seriously issues of community-based rehabilitation, make funds available, work with the sector in terms of implementing the community-based rehabilitation. Also, making sure that the assistive devices are made available to disabled people. These assistive devices are extremely expensive, and this government has a tendency of depending to foreign contributions like China, where they bring in wheelchairs that they don't want and dump them here, and you use them, they break, and you are not able to fix them. So it's something that misleads this government, because if they do that, then it means what they put on budget is not real, because they are saying, look, we're able to get these things from sponsors overseas, and therefore we should not budget this amount for assistive devices. So I think that for me is very important. The last thing, Chair, is that we would hope that. Because I know that you have been having a lot of presentation, and I don't want to bore you with that. But we hope that we could have this relationship of systematic working together, that we would be called at some point in your work, whether it's February or March or so next year, just to review in terms of what's the progress. And also we would be able to say what we think has been done, especially with us with regards to this new ministry. And I think that with those key points, Chair, I would really sincerely want to thank you for giving us this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pitaoni. And I think you made us aware again of our responsibility and also the seriousness of the task when it comes to oversighting, you know, persons with disability. And even the reporting that we have to still do. And the gaps that we have, because you mentioned all the key considerations, what we should take into account. Because there are quite a number of gaps when it comes to these issues. And then also, I like that you acknowledge the new ministry that we're going to have. That is in place, sorry. And the importance of mainstreaming of the targeted grouping into the core function of each department. And then the reminder on Mpumalanga, because I heard about the health department, the social development department, doing good work when it comes to the assistive devices and the wheelchairs. And I think it's a chairperson, it's a place, a province that we have to visit, just to see what are they doing, because they do a lot when it comes to rural development, when it comes to these wheelchairs that Mr. Tony is speaking about and the devices. Any questions? Because I see Mr. Honorable Duncan is already ready, and Mrs. Robertson. Mrs. Duncan?
Thank you, Chair. I don't really have a question. I'm just thankful again, like you said, that we that it's been highlighted that government has an obligation to look after persons with disability. And I think that what we've heard, we'll together we can at least see that things are improved and the quality of life of these people of our persons with disability, that they do have a better life.
Thanks a lot, Mrs. Robertson.
Thank you, Acting Chair. Yes, what the presenter said resonated very clearly with me because I've worked in the disability sector as well. And I am very aware of the fact that the wheelchairs are just handed out, that they're not given to order to size. For example, adult-size wheelchairs are given to children. And again, having looked at the programs overseas, how much more motorized wheelchairs are available to everybody there, and we still have people here in wheelbarrows. And I think it's really tragic. And what I'm concerned about particularly is some of our clinics in rural areas, hospitals even, that don't have enough wheelchairs. I have donated some through assistance, but what I can do on a personal basis isn't enough. I think this is something that government should be doing, and it's not just national. We actually need to liaise with the provincial government because they are very often responsible with this. So we're going to have to look very much more widely in the work that we're going to do. I think we're going to have our hands full. The next 5 years might not be enough for this super committee to super women to do everything, but we're going to make a good start.
Commend Mr. Towney on anything, and I'll just do a few closing remarks with you.
Thank you, Chair. I think I would want to really also encourage the members of the committee to also, whenever you need information, don't hesitate to call on us. We will be there. We have realized that there is a need for us to upgrade our understanding with regards to disability, because we find that other people that call themselves experts on this area would do things for us. So we have worked to this in this regard with the University of Cape Town. We have developed through the partnership with Leeds University the master's program there on disability. And we hope that we'll be able to advise, therefore, government with regards to these matters. We have learned also, you know, through our participation with non-disabled people in terms of some of the areas that we took for granted. But I think the issue around disability, it's something that could better could put this country in a better position and be able to be able to guide this continent on how we need to drive ourselves. You see, Chair, disability is not wheelchair. Disability is not the impairment that I have. But disability is when I'm told that I cannot drive. That's what is disability. Now, if you give me, when a person gives me a wheelchair, it's like when you want to go to church and the person says, use these shoes. You wouldn't do that. So the issue of the wheelchair is not like the wheelchair that is used by a disabled person. It's not like a wheelchair that is used by a person sick in a hospital. So there's a difference. So that's why we need to be able to take these things quite seriously, you know, so that we're able to be much more sensitive and embracing in terms of how we deal with disability. So I think that it's important for us to understand these differences and making sure that we're able to use the correct language. I mean, we've moved in terms of we're much more sensitive when it comes to women. So we should be in terms of disability. We've actually agreed that we'll use the two terms, disabled people and people with disability, and that we need to understand why we use those two terms. We're using those two terms because at some point in time, disabled people felt that they are people first, okay? And therefore, the word people is quite paramount. But at another point, disabled people felt that this thing called disability is not with me, but it's in the environment. So that's why we're saying that as long as the environment is not allowing me to participate, I will remain a disabled person. But immediately I'm able to participate, then the disability is removed from me. So that's the reason why we're calling, you know, we're using these terms. And we're not physically challenged or mentally challenged or differently abled and all of these terms that are used. It's not us. You know? So I think that for me, those are the issues that are important. So I would want, Chair, we are going on the 3rd of December. We're going to have the International Day. And that I would want this committee also to make sure that this parliament takes that day seriously. I know that the ministry has committed itself in terms of making sure that this time around we'll make sure that the key government, including the president, would be able to make sure that we elevate, in the same way that we elevate issues of women, we will do that. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Kauni. I want to close the discussion because someone asked a question to and I said no to it. Thanks a lot, Mr. Kauni, and us explaining the differences, those nuances. Of course, we know when it comes to people with disabilities, there's nothing for us without us, and I think about us without us, yes. So I think that is very important. Thanks a lot. Now it's okay. We are going to wrap up because I think we had a very hectic 2 days. And yesterday before we left, we looked at our program, our strategic plan for the next 5 years. And I think what will be important now, I'll ask the researchers first to speak to the summary, because I think we need to look at key issues, arising which relate to the committee activities. And after that, I'll ask Crystal to speak as Kafi. What's your name, Carl? Kashifa. And then Crystal, just to speak to a few things. And then we'll look at our business plan that we received, and the project manager will speak to it. And after that, we can speak to whether we are satisfied, and then we'll just have closing remarks. Kashifa, thank you.
Okay, we're very near the end. But just to take us back in terms of summary, yesterday there was much discussion around the mandate. And what we've done, we circulated for members early this morning, was exactly that. Just to go through quickly around what the six key objectives we identified in terms of the mandate. The first one, to hold the executive structures that are responsible for improving the lives of our target groups to account, vis-a-vis the department and the National Youth Development Agency, as well as other relevant organs of state. Second, to ensure that targeted groups are considered and prioritized in all legislation, policies, and programs. Third, initiate, monitor, and evaluate implementation and oversee legislation with respect to the targeted groups of the committee. Four, to monitor and oversee the appropriate budgets are allocated to the implementation of legislation, policies and programs targeted at women, youth, children, and persons with disabilities. Five, ensure compliance with international and regional treaties that have a bearing on women, youth, children, and persons with disabilities. And six, to create opportunities for public participation with civil society on key matters pertaining to the committee's target groups. So the where we left discussions of yesterday was, as Honourable Thompson indicated, that with this mandate, it's a proposed mandate which we'll forward to Honourable Bapela, and once there's final agreement as to what we have proposed, that can be adopted within the committee meeting and then circulated so that all members agree. Is there any last commentary or notes on what we have on the mandate before we proceed?
Yes, Honourable Patty.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask, point four, we say there to monitor and oversee that appropriate budget. I'm just thinking of, to monitor and oversee means that we're going to scrutinize and we're going to see, and through debate and speeches and all of it, we're going to carry it over. But can't we maybe add or look at, because what I would like to see coming from provincial government is that we actually influence the budget. Also, I don't know how, but or whether the standing committee would be able to even have treasury to speak to or whatever, but I feel that just the monitoring and overseeing budget and make it known to all other leadership, ministers, the cabinet, the president, is only going to be through debate in the House or in the media. And how are we going to be sure that if we say that for persons with disability, we need R1 million, you know, how are we going to be able to move that and see that in the next financial year or in the appropriation period that is considered? Of course, I know that we will be able to speak to the department, and maybe as a standing committee, we will be able to, once they bring their report to the table, we could influence that. So maybe I just want the researchers maybe just to be aware of.
You'll excuse me if I make a point that has been made because I have not read the document. But I just thought that moving from where we are, representing women, people with disabilities, and youth, you know, on our target group, I think we should also recognize that it is a target group that is excluded from the mainstream of the economy. And because of that, it then becomes the duty of government and private sector to ensure that this target group is covered in the policies in as far as job creation and businesses are concerned. So that it then leads me to saying triple BEE should become a critical instrument for us. And then, secondly, under that, because sometimes triple BEE goes amiss, we should then specifically say we note that it has missed, the target group. As it then reached other people, it missed the target group. And then we then say instruments should be devised to make sure that target groups are, developed. E.g. cooperatives. Thanks, Comrade Chair. But if it's a repetition, you will just pardon me.
Thanks a lot for that. But that is within our program of action, because we discussed that yesterday, and we're not putting it into our mandate. The mandate is broad, because we speak about the improvement of their status of the targeted grouping. Mrs. Robertson, would you like to speak before I allow the researchers just to speak to that influence on how can we influence the budget, the way Honourable Patty is putting it?
I'd like to just add a refinement to what Patty has suggested. I think she has actually that we've got to divide what we're doing. We've said here monitor and oversee, but monitor and overseeing perhaps comes after the allocations have been made to see that the money that has been budgeted is actually spent. So I think what we need to say is that we as a committee need to give input to the budget process through interaction with Treasury, the FFC, Financial Fiscal Commission, as I've mentioned before, and of course, you know, to the Portfolio Committee. So there we can tell them what we're wanting, because budgets are worked on for many, many months before they're actually presented for the MTEF. Then we can be called in to come and give comments about what has been done. But at that stage, it's usually almost too late. So we need to give our input beforehand, and this comes round about August, September, I think.
So just looking then at, for the lack of a better word, it's something prior to monitor, so to influence, monitor, and oversee. But I think it's something stronger than merely influencing. And I think that's where we're directed by the latest money bill. The proviso could be that between Crystal and I, we could say, well, what would be the correct legal term we use? Because it's definitely stronger than merely influencing. It's about interrogating and actually providing commentary. So can we suggest that, one, we put influence and highlight that, and we take that back, query with legal advice and our researchers in finance, and then come back to the committee?
offer a word that might be useful. It talks to mobilizing resources. Because in the mobilizing, you would be talking about budgets, you would be talking about human resources, pointing us to the right people, for instance, to help us with research. So the mobilization seems to me like this is a very important role that the committee could be playing. It means talking to the National Treasury, it means et cetera. What about that one?
I think, you know, what we should do, let the researchers look at the influence, because it could be a word like the chairperson was just whispering, lobbying to, mobilizing, lobbying. So let them just look at that word and put in the correct word, because I think it's important, because when a person looks, because everyone noticed it yesterday when inputs were given, that the department's budget, even today, is lower than the youth budget, far lower. Even when it comes to CGE, far lower. You know, things like that. And I don't think, because when we looked at the budget, we didn't think that budget of yours for a fully fledged department was, you know, suitable. So I think therefore this came in, and I think it's a very important aspect that if this happens this year, we can influence the appropriation and we can influence next year's budget. Anything else, Kashifa? The last word now on that.
So, sorry, Jay, but this is going to help us because I just want to say what actually flows in the province other than this. We used to have also yearly reports in the province. And then I was member of social development. And that is where I started asking and making sure in Parliament I raised it that we don't have yearly reports anymore, but rather quarterly reports. No? Semester reports, and then eventually I went over to the semester, because that is also a way where you can guide the department in saying that, you know, and really have that influence. So I just thought, seeing that we in national are also talking about annual reports, that we definitely make sure, Chairperson, that we get that, I call it influence, we need a stronger word, but that we get that part into that sentence, specifically when it comes to budget.
Thanks a lot for that, because I think as we refine our program, within the program of action, we'll come to that quarterly report, etc. Anything else?
Just to indicate to Honourable Duncan, the finance does have something called the in-year monitoring report, which basically looks at, and that we can collate per quarter. And I think when the new ministry is up and running, we can request that. And, I mean, our finance researchers obtain all in-year monitoring reports, and we can ask for, if you want, detailed account of how expenditures being allocated and spent, we can do that. I think just one more thing which, in going through the mandate, I want to raise is the extent to which we've covered enough how the committee would look at issues about mainstreaming the target groups, and whether it's actually been captured in what you've documented up above.
I think that we think, because I think I thought about it yesterday too, that we don't have mainstreaming there. Because mainstreaming means where we have to mainstream these target groupings into the core function of each department. And that will also be the role of the new ministry. Can you speak to HOD that you can just see how we put it into our mandate, just on mainstreaming, because I think we have to think on something. Even you as researchers have to think to it.
I can't see all of the things up now, but I certainly think that would be very important as the task of the committee, particularly with regard to other committees here. So it definitely, I would think that you would want to put that one in. And it's all the educative work, it's all the work that you ensure in the legislation, and I don't see it there. I agree.
That was just the mandate. She told me to go into the program.
Oh,
sorry. Okay. So just to summarize then, so Crystal and I will follow up on the issue around the budgets and the use of the correct term, but we'll also go to legal advice and just ensure that in terms of the wording we used, it means what we intended to. Okay. So next, what we have done was between 2009 and 2013, looked at the key themes, and the suggestion was that in terms of 2010, that's prefaced in terms of survival and development by poverty, and that for all our themes, that it's to be understood as a principle that when we look at violence, economic empowerment, education and skills, survival and development, it's within the context of poverty. In terms of 2009, we've included prostitution as one of the key issues for 2010 in terms of, and to look at that in relation to trafficking. Okay, so that essentially then covers. Again, just to remind members that in terms of 2013, even though we've indicated that we'll use that year as a review year for the past 5 years, that needless to say that when we engage with the various machineries, it will be still be done on an annual basis, and we'll build that into the program. What we went on from there was to say that if we looked at each year and in taking your five functions, in terms of oversight, we've listed all your departments that you'd call in within that given year in relation to your theme. So in terms of violence, it would be Department of Justice, Health, Social Development, Education. In terms of treaties, it would be international relations. And then we've got the Human Rights Commission to talk to the work that they've done around school-based violence, and the South African Law Commission to talk to us about the work that they've done around trafficking. So for each year, we've listed more or less which are the key departments the committee could call in relation to your topic which you want to engage in. This is then followed by legislation. Just to indicate to members, it's still work in progress, and we'll take into consideration all the acts which were mentioned today. We've tried covering most of them, and we'll separate them, that in terms of acts that which have been passed, what is the committee's responsibility and mandate in terms of monitoring and overseeing that the act has been implemented. And then there's possible acts which will have yet to be introduced, amended, or reformed. And that's listed between for each and every year. In terms of public participation, as Honourable Thompson indicated, that there are one of two options. One is around a public hearing when it comes to a piece of legislation that we initiate, which we haven't included, that falls under legislation. And the second bit is to look at discussions with civil society. So, for example, we've just given examples of possible avenues which we could have. I mean, under the first one, I mean, there have been lots of examples cited today around gender-based violence and how we could engage with community-based organizations and women organizations around the issue. In terms of international agreements, for each year we've listed in terms of priority what the committee needs to see to. So for 2009, in terms of CEDAW, it's the recommendations to be followed up. And again, following on from what the CGE had mentioned to us earlier today, looking at their report and what they had to say about CEDAW recommendations. Again, the ratification of the static protocol, and in terms of children, it's to follow up on the country report, which is 10 years late. Following on that, it's again, what we've looked at is, if in the previous year you're looking at the recommendations, the following year you would say, well, what are the recommendations that you need to follow up coming from the treaty body? And then again, looking at the Disability Convention, in terms of March 2010, when the first country report is due, and then just flagging here and there where there were treaties that haven't yet been ratified, which we will include. So that essentially covers your four areas. We haven't included international study tours. That's something that Honourable Thompson actually suggested. We as researchers, we go back, look at best practice, and present to you what are the possible avenues to consider. In terms of outcomes, as Sylvia indicated yesterday, we just highlighted what are the possible outcomes that the committee would like to achieve in relation to public participation, providing a platform to be able to access information and use that information to inform the work of the committee, to determine whether legislation has impacted on the life, and to actually determine how accessible services are. In terms of oversight, the obvious outcome would be actually holding departments to account and organs of state. In terms of international treaties, the outcome is one, to actually engage with the country report, and second is to actually follow up on the recommendations. In terms of legislation, two outcomes. One, we actually introduce the legislation, pass the law, and when there needs to be an amendment, we follow up on the amendment, and as well as actually monitor legislation which has been implemented. So just in summary, one of the proposals we could look at, given that the scope of the work is so vast, we've identified themes as one way in which we group what we look at across the target groups, but also saying that if the committee was to divide its time, that we could say 60% of your time is dedicated to a thematic area, which you've listed in terms of oversight legislation and so forth, that 40% is focused on things that's part of the parliamentary cycle. You have to engage with the State of the Nation, you have to engage on annual reports and stat plan, and that you account for 10% for kind of urgent matters arising and reactive issues. Just to take you to some of the parking lot issues which I've picked up on, one of the suggestions from members was that as researchers we look at, well, what is the key difference in terms of the presidency with the previous offices, Office on the Rights of the Child, Women and Disability, in relation to the new ministry, what's the same, what's different, that we get Nelisa to access all our country reports and whatever other reports the presidents have indicated we could have, and that it would appear that members are saying in terms of treaties there's just so much work and maybe we need to look and see where do we have a dedicated slot to look at treaties, to follow up on best practice around study tours and present. Suggestion from Honourable Thompson was that we prepare some sort of scorecard and around time frames to look at, you know, what's realistic and what's manageable in terms of what we've put forward. In terms of conferral, which we haven't spoken about, which I thought I'd flagged, is how we engage and link with the Select Committee on Women, Children, Persons with Disabilities, so that we support each other, we don't duplicate, but we reinforce what we're needing to do, and to what extent that needs to happen. And then there were just two other things. One was issues around whether committee feels they want more input, maybe it's around budget analysis or rights training. And the second one just escaped my mind, like a butterfly gone away. Okay, I'll come back to it. But maybe if there's anything else in terms of the parking lot that you want me to document for us to follow up on.
Thank you. Just reconferral. You said working with other committees. Now, I would just like to pick up what Kashiva said about the select committees. That's the NCOP. I think it would be very good for us to have a closer liaison, because when I was there last year, there wasn't enough. And I think we can assist in having them giving the focus into the provinces particularly. So let us have some interaction.
Mrs. Robertson, because I forgot again, it's really committees, NCOP. Thank you for that. Yeah? And then the other one is issue on budget. Is that the training, any training that we need?
Yes, I think given across the 2 days, there were probably things which you thought, this is an area we want to go delving more deeply, this is an area where we want more information, but in terms of how we begin to give effective support to the committee. I mean, just the last one was establishing the management forum, which was in the committee. I think that's something in terms of committee section and chairperson we haven't yet done, which I think is pretty important, so that when, like, within the next couple of months, we still need to adopt before we carry on in this term, is the program for, because I mean, Nelisa just indicated to us previously, because the sooner we can adopt a program for 2009, the easier it is for her to be sending out letters to departments so that they can diarize and ask people to come timeously. So that was the other one.
Because when it comes to, like, looking at the budget, agenda lens, those things we have to start to learn now, that we know exactly, and even like the FFC, because that is part of lobbying. So let's keep everything around by the framing. And then the other thing is I think we just accept because you have a portion there where you say these are the departments that we have to see. So put down those departments of 209. And then my other thing was speaking to the chairperson about what is left out for a thing like today where they talk about that they have a close relationship with rural development and land affairs. And then there was a bill, an act that was property. The act is the Communal Land Rights Act. And then the other one that is very clear draft, the definition of Muslim marriages under the Muslim personal law. I think that's important too. Because they have the Free Marriage Act. But it doesn't cover the Muslims. Well, there was a case taken to where the husband just came, he got married to the woman. They moved to Houston, seeing the very rich people, and just said, I'm going to take the second one. So she decided I'm divorcing. And they didn't get maintained and then they took the support. And she won the case. With a course of cleaner maintenance as a Muslim. So we need to look at that too. And then something else. The committee, everyone is saying it's a super committee. I think
I just want to know how many members are we supposed to be in this committee? I would like to know. And then maybe just lastly,
yes.
An all-in-one, is can I perhaps, with the presentation that was done by Judith, can we ask our researchers to maybe look at the cities and, like she said, we need to know under which department the treaty needs to be, you know, maybe just if they could give us a back report on that. And then lastly, Chairperson, yes, I want to say thank you to everybody here today, acting DG and Denny, and I'm not sure whether I can remember everybody's name, Sylvia, and also our researchers, and for our coordinator. I think it's been stunning the day. I know we're all tired, but it's been, I feel, quite ready for what is lying ahead. I just hope my health is going to keep up with it, but I'm very excited after today. Really, I think all the presentations were well done by all the presenters that were here today, and I'm very happy to be part of this standing committee, and I'm looking forward to
thanks a lot
for that, Honourable Duncan. In the committee, there are supposed to be 13 members, and we noticed that there's 13, 1, 3, and we noticed there's only a certain grouping that we always see. And I think, the coordinator has to look at the names and write letters to the political party to find out where are these members. And if these members no longer want to be with the committee, then let them withdraw rather. You know, then we know with what we're dealing, then we can ask for more members later. And you have two alternatives from UCDP.
Yes, Mrs. Robertson.
Thank you. I just want to follow up on what you said there. I think it's very important that we do establish, if we're going to be part of the committee, we're going to be people who work, who are not just going to pop in.
Yes.
Because what happens when people don't attend, they've not been part of the process, and then they take one back, or they take you off on a red herring, whereas we've all reached a certain point, and we don't want to waste time. So I think a certain amount of discipline is needed if we're going to work properly. So that's over to you.
The committee clerk will look at that, the coordinator, because I think it's important to have people that's going to be here consistently, you know, from all parties.
No, I don't want to waste time, but I think this is important for us to ask the coordinator to maybe, I don't know how you can do it, but to see that we are more health conscious with what we eat. Really, I mean, some fruit rather, and I really suggest this, because for the whole day to be on, I don't think it's good for our health. But thank you very much. I don't have anything.
No, we'll tell them the coordinator, because yesterday we had avocado fear, and I'm allergic. You know, things like that. And I wouldn't like to lose my life in this committee room with a super committee. There's something else. And I think what is important to, when it comes to the researchers, we have to look at what is our national gender machinery. Because look here, when we had a special programs unit within the presidency, they said this is your national gender machinery. Because it's supposed to be the, this committee, the ministry, etc. So you have to look at that. And then even our stakeholders, we have meetings with the national gender machinery and they called in, then our stakeholders have to be called in. Are you going to say something, Crystal? Because they accepted everything there of Kashiba.
Thank you. I just want to, in light of what we've been discussing the past 2 days, talk about what Kashiba and my role is. I mean, this is a super committee, there's only two of us. So just looking at what our role will be in assisting the committee. So obviously that still needs to be tweaked now, in the, considering the things that we've added now in terms of the mandate. From our side, we work on two things, reactive and proactive research. So the proactive things would be things that we know are coming all the time, like when we engage with budgets and annual reports and those things, we'll prepare briefing papers for the committee up front in that regard to engage with. And then also reactive things when things are coming up or issues are highlighted that that the committee would like some research on, we also respond to that. I'd just like to highlight some of the specific things that we will be doing. Okay. So we'll look at considering and analyzing annual reports, budgets, programs, et cetera, of the relevant executive structures that we identified and government departments, and identifying legislation impacting on the targeted groups and assisting with the legislative analysis. There will be times when we also have to work with the legal services to look at some of the things when the committee wants to make submissions. Providing content support in the form of research briefs or background information, fact sheets, et cetera, for public participation. Public participation initiatives and also study tours when the committee does go on those. And then highlighting progress and challenges in terms of international and regional obligations. I mean, we've seen all these treaties that the committee will be engaging with, so looking at those things. And in terms of reactive things, alerting the committee to any pertinent issues which affect target groups, and we'll prepare briefs in that regard where necessary. And then responding to research requests from the committee, obviously. So, I mean, from today's, or the past 2 days, you can see there's lots of work to be done. So just maybe to consider that we need to be clear when we want research briefs. I don't think having 20 pages on a topic will perhaps serve the committee. If we could limit things to bite-sized chunks and say, this is exactly what we need, and this is a topical issue, and we just need 5 pages or 2 pages or whatever, you know, putting that kind of thing up front. And as you see today, there are lots of people who are willing to work with the committee, who have resources, who have access to information. So we shouldn't be afraid also to call on those people to assist us Like I said, there's only Kashif and myself. There's no way that we know everything, but we'll know where to go to get information. So establishing and working in relationships with the civil society and research and academic institutions and using them as partners and resources as well in the future. So.
Well, that says something, and then we're going to close. Thank you.
I hope everyone has the document that is titled Business Plan at the first page. Just to alert you that that is a draft and a high-level draft of aspects that we discussed yesterday. Give me a moment. I'm going to quickly go to that document and I'm going to speak to it. I won't be long. But I want to highlight that the committee has good resources here, the researchers. And we are going to work hand in hand to finalize this high-level draft that you can use as a working document going forward. Because I believe developing a business plan, you cannot do it in one sitting, certainly not in 2 days. What we've done in this 2 days was to throw everything there is that we possibly can consider and that we can work with in the 5 years term that is ahead of us. But in the process of doing what has begun today and the overall business and strategic planning of Parliament, I'm sure you are aware that Parliament is engaging or gearing at re-looking at this strategic direction, out of which we will have a new strategic business plan of Parliament. And by the inherent nature of what the committee does being what Parliament is mandated to do, we probably are running right on track in terms of the core objectives of Parliament. Because if you look at those six or seven items that we've identified as key issues, they speak directly to the five core objectives of Parliament. We have passing of legislation, we have aspect on oversight, we have aspect on public participation, we have aspect on cooperative government as well as international participation. And that is the framework that we are going to use to flag all of these discussions that transpired in the past 2 days. And I believe that will make a great input. I believe, Chair, you probably have been alerted to a number of engagements that will follow shortly in terms of the overall institution strategic direction. I'm going to take you through that process just to give you a high-level highlight of what to expect. I believe all the engagements of the past 2 days will come handy going into making input into that process. I'm not going to speak a number of details. All I'm going to say is, as you look at it, if you look at page one of the document that I gave you earlier on, we're looking at what are the core objectives, what are the main issues, and what are the activities. If you look at a number of those, you'd find that some are generic and almost inherent activities that we'll undertake. What we are going to do will uplift the content-specific elements of this particular committee into those so that it becomes a women's committee aspect to the dot in terms of specifics. If I will give an example on that one, speaking on legislation, there were highlights on a need for new legislation, for example, the torture bill that is said to be tabled with the Department of Justice. I'm just giving a high-level example, and a number of amendments. So what it means, instead of what you're having right in your hands as a draft. We're going to work on that document a little bit further, and you will have all these subject-specific elements, meaning that this will become your working document to the latter. I just wanted to flag that. I'm not going to take you through everything. Maybe let me just give you two examples. Let's go to international relations. We spoke a lot about international and regional treaties. You won't find it there in the document that you're having because it's a document that is work in progress. A moment. Probably whilst we're getting there, the one other good example is the last item that we put in that in those six into seven aspects. That one on mainstreaming of issues to do with the target groups, which touches directly on cooperative government aspects. So those are the issues that we'll flag and provide you with that kind of outcome. Let me touch on just the last thing on international participation. We spoke about ratification of a number of treaties or covenants, doing some reporting to councils and committees of various forms of treaties and the like. Those are going to be the specifics that will go into that framework. I hope it will serve you good and give you an overall framework to work with. Can I just have an indication whether you're comfortable with that framework? I must highlight that we'll have that schematic highlight, but we'll as well have a narrative. When I finish with the high level, the researchers will still provide you with the narrative to elements that we've been talking about. I believe that those will be two good documents to take forward in our planning processes.
How do the members feel? Then I would also like, you can switch off your mic. The researchers just to voice their opinion because they were helping us a lot with these things. The members, this is our project manager, you know, for the committee. And just putting everything into, you know, very business-like form. Kashita and Christoph?
I like the business plan idea.
Yeah.
We actually that's a very good concept
technical.
To make use of the business sector. Because at least we are going to want to make profits, and again, our profit is ensuring that our people's lives are improving.
Mm.
So I like
the aspect.
Yeah. So let's call it.
Kashif and Christophe? No, I have to. We have to all be very satisfied with this business aspect.
And just to indicate, I think all. In terms of a business plan, currently we'll see probably to date, I think there are about 20 or 15 committees that have done stat planning. So each and every committee has to do a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what Sylvia, the facilitator from Project's office for our 2 days, has indicated is it's no different to what we've already discussed.
Mm-hmm.
What in terms of the previous tables in which you showed our themes, what Sylvia will do is take out the content and just put it into different tables there. The names kind of stay the same. It's just going to be a little bit more detail about what we don't have are key performance indicators.
Mm.
For example, it could be when we say oversight, how many meetings would we like to have? How many participants from civil society would we like to engage with? So, yeah. So in terms of the set business plan, just to highlight, too, that this is part of a process. As indicated, I think Parliament's staff planning concludes in October, Sylvia?
Yes.
Yeah, so Parliament's one concludes in October. So our staff plan needs to fit into Parliament's overall staff plan. And if there's need for tweaking, we'd look at that. But I think we've covered just about everything today. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot for that. And now, Sylvia, you have the go-ahead from the committee. And you people have to be careful with this tweaking or the tweaking, because that is cut and paste. The department does it. And we don't want the departments to find out we have agreed this. Thanks a lot. I think we're coming to the last word is from the Honourable Member Duncan, and then we're coming to our vote of thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to know how much money do we as a committee have to actually do our work. Thank you.
Later.
I think it's 450 for this financial year. 450,000.
I think that will have to be looked at. I don't know in which fashion, because 450, it's really little. And we got a lot of work to do. Because that is the, I think what is important, and that's why it's important for us to do budgeting. Because budgeting means we can look at our own committee too. Because when it comes to committee work, it's the core function of a parliamentarian. And to do that core function, we're only getting 450. And I think we really need more. Sylvia, the last word, and then we'll devote the thanks.
Just to make a correction. I wish I could be a friend to the committee, but the reason why I'm here is because our section, which is business planning and strategy, will be facilitating the overall institution's strategic direction. And we've seen this as an opportune time to get involved, seeing that the process happened to be the other way around. Because normally you first do the overall institution, then whoever the units, the sections, the divisions under. So we're actually doing it the inverse way, which is no harm. And for this reason, we could lend a hand in working with you so that at the end of the day, we have the process as seamless as possible. But I'm a borrowed resource to the committee.
Yes. Sylvia, you can put off. But Sylvia, we are expecting you, seeing that you start for this committee, to remain, because I saw the chairperson was not satisfied when you said you only here, you're just lending yourself. I think what happened, Honourable Duncan, she really thanked everyone before we even said we're thanking people. And we'll, the first people that we'd like to thank that sat here for 2 days is our newly formed department, the Ministry of, we see where I'm going to pass, women, children, and persons with disabilities. I think I'm getting a prize for that one. Yes?
No, Chairperson, because you said the Ministry of.
Oh, Ministry on. You should say the Ministry for. All right, so thank you. But so I think our
first you passed.
All right. Thanks a lot, HOD, acting HOD, and then the persons, the officials you brought with you. Because we really, your input to us was very valuable. And it really helped us to understand the ministry. And at, like people like saying, what animal are we looking at? But to me, the ministry is not an animal. It's just, you know, the idea that you told us, you know, what is it, the status. And then I'd like to thank the members, because these members that you see here today, these members are always the members that are present in this meeting. And we'd like to thank you for your attendance. Of course, to be here for 2 days, many a times there were many other things we could have done. But because we find this committee very important, we come and do our committee work. When it comes to our researchers, I'd like to thank you for all the work you did. I know it can be a pain now and then, because we're asking you to do it. And we ask you to do that. So we'd like to thank you for your participation. Then, also, Sylvia, and even the committee coordinator. Thanks for everything. And what, Sophia? Is there something I have to speak to you? No. I don't think there's something I would like to speak to. And I'd like to thank our chairperson. I know she's having a hard time because of the skulls that she's having, but I'm happy that she came along and she did her work for the 2 days. Because your input to was very valuable, yeah. You had you've really helped us along. And even the people at the back from Parliament themselves. And I'd like to thank myself too. That's back in the chair. Only for 2 hours. You know, just for helping the chair out. And we'll rotate the chair next time. Thanks a lot. Yes. Thank you. And thank you, chairperson. I declare the meeting closed, but Sylvia, please. Sylvia, I'm not going to allow you to speak. Yes, Sylvia.
Sorry to jump in before you do that, but it will be a crime if I don't highlight the strategic planning processes going forward and why it will be necessary to tweak aspects of our business plan in October when the institution one will be finalized. Because we're doing our one prior to the institution, meaning that we probably will be done by with the committee's one. October. But come October when the institution's strategic plan is stable, we need to look how does the committee align. Because in as much as we're sitting with, for example, the five core districts of Parliament, nothing guarantees that they will stay the five, this particular five, or whether will everything stay as is. There could be some alignment necessitated by the engagements that would have undergone. Just to indicate how the participation in the strategic planning will happen, it is anticipated that it will start from like smaller groups where, for example, POs, house chairs, chairpersons, which are engaged separately, like in small groups as small as 3 people possible, from which people will be taken into bigger groups to discuss their visions or what they think should be the strategic direction of Parliament, and that will culminate into summits. It could be a number of summits, meaning that this year, a number of us are probably used to management summits that we have always had annually, but what's different with this year being a new term of 4th Parliament, we'll have a vision summit. It would not be management summit, but everyone eventually would have engaged with where Parliament should go, such a way that at the end of the process, every layer from political leaders to management, from parliamentary officials, would have engaged with where Parliament should go and would own the process, because that's the major value we hope to derive with such a process. So a number of sessions will roll on as soon as we can start the process. The first level, we call it vision sharing, where at a smaller group, people engage with where do they think Parliament is going, where it should be going. At a bigger group, then we have encounters where we get to know what other groups or other pockets of Parliament are thinking of where Parliament should be going. And at a more bigger group, that's where we throw everything into the board and we start mapping out where we should go. And that should result into a draft of a strategic direction of Parliament. And hopefully by October, we can table the final strategic plan of Parliament. We congratulate you for starting early, and we hope that we'll have a ball between now and October when we finalize the process. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for that. But don't tweak our plan too much, because normally in Parliament does it, we saw it answered in the Eastern Cape. Then it looks like something totally different. You don't recognize it at all. Thanks a lot. Everyone is just left.